Well, this morning, let's talk about what you just did. Let's talk about sleep this morning. The Central State Center for Agricultural Safety and Health and the University of Nebraska Medical Center recently put together an educational article dealing with sleep and some of the factors that we run into in our daily lives today that have such a big effect on that. 50 years ago, they write, adults averaged between 8 and 8.5 hours of sleep every night. Today, that number is down to 7 or perhaps 7.5. The hectic lifestyles and the advances in technology, things like in-home entertainment, computers, cell phones, those have probably played a role in keeping people up longer in the evening. And due to how LED lights from our devices and in-home use of LED bulbs affect our body's circadian rhythms, we may not feel sleepy even when we know it's past our bedtime. So LED lights produce blue wavelengths. During the day, this can help boost attention, reaction times, and mood. However, exposure to light suppresses our body's natural secretion of melatonin. That's a hormone that influences our circadian rhythms. Melatonin levels in our blood increase during the evening hours, and that causes us to feel drowsy. When we're exposed to bright light, our melatonin production is directly inhibited. They say not only do we feel we don't need to sleep, some studies have shown that lower melatonin levels may be associated with cancer. Susan Harris, the University of Nebraska Extension Educator in Rural Health, Wellness, and Safety, says that when we don't get enough sleep, we are at risk for so many health problems. Adequate sleep has a positive impact on our metabolism, so lack of sleep can actually lead to obesity. When we get enough sleep, it helps us deal with stress. We tend to have a better mood and a higher energy level. Adequate sleep generally causes us to live longer, enhances our memory, makes us more creative. Our appearance improves when we get between 8 and 9 hours of sleep. Sleep researchers know we also have fewer food cravings, are protected from cancer and dementia, and are less susceptible to illnesses like colds and flu. Harris says when we're adequately rested, we have less risk of heart attack, stroke, and diabetes. Our cognitive abilities improve, and our ability to maintain information that we've learned is also increased. Now, on the farm, it's easy to become sleep-deprived due to the hectic nature of seasons like calving, planting, and harvest. The unpredictability of daily farm activities can also lead to long hours and, of course, less sleep. Now, in her research and through interviewing sleep experts and specialists, Harris says she's learned that there are three important keys to support the proper function of our circadian rhythm. Now, she says, believe it or not, getting up at the same time each day is one of the most important things a person can do to maintain circadian rhythm function. Now, she says also, while we often think about staying warm while we sleep, it's actually necessary for our body to cool down a few degrees when we sleep. The recommended sleeping temperature for a bedroom is between 60 and 68 degrees Fahrenheit. She says this promotes sound sleep and restorative activities during sleep. Now, when it comes to light, she said follow the sun. In the morning, awaken to bright light, and during the evening, dim the lights. Among the important activities that occur while we sleep are detoxification, repair of traumatized muscles, including our heart, and support for cognitive functions that help us retain information that we acquired during the daytime hours. She says without adequate sleep, we tend to make poor decisions and our physical actions may be clumsy. Studies have revealed that adolescents in a farm environment are 2 to 3 times more likely to be injured if they're sleep deprived. Now, she also goes on to say that adequate sleep time for adolescents is a little longer, between 9 and 10 hours. It's not uncommon for this age group to regularly experience less than 7 hours of sleep. So when the kids sleep in, I guess they're not just being lazy, they are being smart about their sleep times. Now, children between the ages of 7 and 8 who get less than 8 hours of sleep per night are more likely to be hyperactive, inattentive, and impulsive. Now, sleep studies have also demonstrated that being awake for extended periods of time causes an individual to react as though they were intoxicated. Going without sleep for 21 hours affects bodily functions in the same manner as a blood alcohol content level of 0.08, which is the legal intoxication level. She says if you're up all night, it will affect your body as though you are highly intoxicated. If you have a night where you don't get any sleep, don't climb into your tractor the next morning. Now, she says some cases of insomnia also include things like snoring, restless leg syndrome, frequent trips to the bathroom, lack of bright light exposure during the daytime, underlying medical or physical issues, food and drink consumed before bedtime, lack of physical activity during the day, and chatter in the head, those thoughts that you just can't stop. Now, adults who get less than 6 hours of sleep per night are 5 times more likely to be obese and have a 56% increase in risk for type 2 diabetes. Now, sleepiness accounts for the highest number of fatal single-car run-off-the-road car accidents, with up to 6,000 fatal crashes each year that may be caused by drowsy drivers. Harris says each year, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reports that 100,000 police-reported crashes involve drowsy driving. Now, while over-the-counter sleep-inducing products are readily available, Harris warns that they aren't a substitute for what she calls real sleep. The next day drowsiness or hangover effect can result in impaired balance and driving performance. She says those who regularly use these types of products may experience dizziness, constipation, and may become dependent on the product. Harris also points out that the ingredients in the over-the-counter sleep products are the same as those found in antihistamine products. So, if we want to improve our sleep habits with all that we just mentioned, what types of things should we do? What should we practice? Well, she says you should, first of all, get direct sunlight or phototherapy light between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m., about the time that you normally would get up in the morning. Start dimming the lights indoors at sunset or a couple hours prior to bedtime. Do you have all the lights on in the house until you finally decide to go to bed? Maybe you want to start knocking some of those down a little earlier during the evening. Also, she suggests eating unprocessed foods and drink plenty of water. And we do eat a lot of processed foods that we can heat and eat, things that we toss in the microwave and some of those different types of things that make it a little bit easier to get through the dinner times. Caffeine is also a big one. She suggests limiting caffeine intake to mornings only. So if you need that cup of coffee in the morning, that's one thing, but don't take that cup of coffee right before you head to bed and expect to get a good night's sleep following that. And also, she said, stop watching TV, using a computer, or other devices at least 1 hour before bedtime. And there are plenty of other tips and recommendations that you can find online as well. In fact, you can go to unl.edu/sleeptips and find more from this particular study. She says we all have everyday priorities. We're conscientious about eating healthy and getting exercise. We do what we need to manage our family and our homes, our farms and our businesses. We need to ensure that adequate sleep is also part of that daily routine. Sleep, we don't think much about it typically, unless we're deprived of it. Then we think a lot about it if we have one of those days after a tough night's sleep, and it just seems like the day will never end. Well, if you do some things beforehand and are aware of what the stimuluses are, certain stimulus that really make us struggle a little bit before bed at night. Sometimes we don't realize what those are, but if we take time to understand a little bit more about sleep, well, then we could probably have fewer problems with it. So those computer devices and TVs and little handheld devices, those things before bedtime, usually not the greatest idea. And I'm surprised actually at the sleep temperature thing, because if you're like most people, it's probably, especially during the winter, during the summer months when it's warm outside, the blankets, the covers, the sheets, they might be on and off and on and off over and over again during the course of the night. Just because your body temperature tends to fluctuate a little bit, and it's that awkward time where it's not real cold out, so you need the warmth. But 60 to 68 degrees is the optimal temperature in a bedroom for sleeping. So lots of things there that can affect the sleep that we get. And, of course, we know the sleep that we get affects not only the next day, but the rest of our lives as well. So don't go back to bed quite yet. Enjoy your day. But when it comes time, make sure you get some good, solid sleep. It'll make you feel a whole lot better and keep you plenty healthy.